Section 2, Sticking with the Confederacy. As you read, look for North Carolinians' participation in the war, the effect of blockade runners on the Confederacy, how North Carolina troops earned the slogan First at Bethel, Farthest at Gettysburg, and Last at Appomattox, and the following terms, naval blockade and blockade runner. During the American Civil War, North Carolinians acquired the nickname of Tar Heels. Tar Heel bravery cost the state dearly during the war. North Carolinians provided 1/6 of all the Confederate soldiers, even though the state had only 1/9 of the South's population. In all, North Carolina provided more than 125,000 troops to the Confederacy and suffered 1/4 of all Confederate casualties. About 20,000 died from battle wounds. Another 20,000 died of disease. Moreover, a lot of things short of death happened during the Civil War. Sickness was common, and a soldier sometimes was wounded more than once. A soldier could also be captured, or he could desert. At least 23,000 North Carolina troops deserted during the war, the highest number for any Southern state. Some deserted more than once. Some of those deserters were executed. Although North Carolina provided large numbers of soldiers, the state was no more the military leader of the Confederacy than it had been a political force in America's earlier history. 37 North Carolinians were generals, but only one led whole armies. Warrenton native Braxton Bragg, after whom Fort Bragg was later named, commanded Confederates west of the Appalachians with only mediocre success. Fighting on the Virginia Front. Much of the early fighting in the Civil War took place in Virginia. North Carolinians fought bravely in just about every major engagement in Virginia. North Carolinians ever since have been taught to remember that their troops were first at Bethel, farthest at Gettysburg, and last at Appomattox. At Bethel, Virginia, in the summer of 1861, the first North Carolinian was killed in combat. Henry L. Wyatt of Edgecombe County. He was also the only Confederate soldier killed in the battle. In 1863, North Carolinians under General J.J. Pettigrew formed part of Pickett's charge at the three-day Battle of Gettysburg. Some North Carolinians have always called it the Pickett-Pettigrew charge because almost as many North Carolinians were in it as Virginians. The frontal assault took thousands of Confederates across open ground for more than a mile under heavy Union fire. Despite taking horrendous casualties, Tar Heels pushed through the Union line. Their actions, however, did not carry the day, for the Confederacy was forced to retreat. Tar Heels stayed with the Confederacy until the end. When the Confederate Army laid down its arms at Appomattox Courthouse in 1865, 1/4 of those who surrendered were North Carolinians. Men from the Old North State were at the forefront of the fighting at other times during the war. In September 1862, Confederate General Robert E. Lee invaded Maryland, hoping to capture Washington, D.C. Lee was almost trapped in a battle at Sharpsburg. His Army of Northern Virginia was on the brink of being destroyed when a fast-moving column of North Carolinians came onto the battlefield just in time to stem the tide and break the Union advance. North Carolinians also committed one of the greatest mistakes of the war. At Chancellorsville in May 1863, North Carolinians marched with General Thomas Stonewall Jackson around the Union Army and surprised it from behind. After the attack, General Jackson got caught between the lines and was mistaken for a Union general. North Carolinians accidentally wounded him, and he later died from his wounds. Defending the North Carolina coastline. Although the Civil War was fought mostly in Virginia and Tennessee, considerable fighting took place along coastal North Carolina. Once the war began, the North planned to attack Richmond, Virginia, the capital of the Confederacy, from several directions. One way was through the Albemarle Sound. In the summer of 1861, the Union began to capture Confederate forts on the Outer Banks. By 1862, the North controlled the Sounds. The North had a second objective in mind with this invasion of North Carolina. Since the start of the war, the North had maintained a naval blockade, where a fleet of ships patrolled the ocean outside all southern ports. The intent was to keep the Confederacy from receiving supplies from other nations. By 1863, most southern ports had been cut off. Eventually, only Wilmington remained open. The north was kept away from the mouth of the Cape Fear because of the sandbars and shallow water. In addition, a nearby post, Fort Fisher, guarded the mouth of the river. Ironically, the coastline that had been such a disadvantage through North Carolina's history was turned into an advantage for the South. The Confederates used the currents, tides, and shoals to outmaneuver the North ships. Blockade runners, low-lying steamships that were painted gray to match the ocean and fool pursuers, were able to slip in and out of Cape Fear waters. These ships went to British ports in the Bahamas and Bermuda to load up on supplies for the Confederate military. They came back with foodstuffs, ammunition, uniforms, and firearms. The most famous blockade runner was the Advance, owned by the state of North Carolina. By 1864, most supplies supporting General Lee's army came through Wilmington and were transported to Virginia along the Wilmington and Weldon Railroad. This track became so vital to the war effort that Southerners came to call it the lifeline of the Confederacy. The North wanted to cut off the Confederate supply line. For more than 2 years, North Carolina troops kept them away. More than a dozen small battles were fought at various points in the Tidewater. Generals Daniel H. Hill and Robert F. Hoke, both Tar Heel natives, made several unsuccessful efforts in 1864 to retake New Bern, Washington, Plymouth, and other coastal towns. These Confederate counterattacks, however, kept the Union from the state's vital rail line until the end of the war. The end of the war. As the war raged on elsewhere in 1865, invaders closed in on North Carolina from all sides. In January, a Union naval force took Fort Fisher, closing Wilmington's port. Union General William T. Sherman, after completing his infamous March to the Sea in Georgia, turned north into the Carolinas. After burning Columbia, South Carolina, Sherman's army headed toward the key railroad depot at Goldsboro to cut off the lifeline of the Confederacy. Along the way, Sherman destroyed an arsenal at Fayetteville and battled makeshift Confederate forces at Bentonville in Johnston County. Bentonville was the largest battle fought in the state during the war. Sherman took possession of central North Carolina. He spared Raleigh the fiery fate of Columbia. Some of his troops camped on the university campus in Chapel Hill, where they stabled their horses in the library. On April 9, 1865, General Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse, Virginia. Soon after Appomattox, the last remnants of Confederate troops under General Joseph Johnston surrendered in a ceremony held at the Bennett Farm, located near the train depot called Durham Station. By the end of April 1865, most North Carolina soldiers were on their way home. Special feature: Carolina Places, Bentonville Battlefield. The Battle of Bentonville was the last major fight between the North and the South in the Civil War. It was also the largest battle fought in North Carolina during the war. For that reason, the state has preserved the battlefield as a state historic site and offers a 14-mile guided tour to tell visitors what happened. In the last months of the Civil War, North Carolina was one of the last unconquered Confederate states. The Union armies in the spring of 1865, however, came into the state from several directions. After Wilmington was lost, the Wilmington and Weldon Railroad continued to transport what few supplies were still available to Confederate soldiers. Because of this, General William T. Sherman pushed toward the vital railroad crossing at Goldsboro. Remnants of several Confederate armies had gathered north of Fayetteville to try to stop Sherman. General Joseph Johnston, who had been living in retirement in Lincolnton, commanded the ragtag Southern forces. The three highest-ranking North Carolina generals, Braxton Bragg, Daniel H. Hill, and Robert F. Hoke, joined him with whatever troops they had. Wade Hampton, a South Carolina general who would later live in the mountain town of Cashiers, was also present. Johnston lay in wait in the longleaf pine forest and farm fields on the road from Fayetteville to Goldsboro. He had 16,000 troops. Sherman could call upon 60,000. Nearby was the hamlet of Bentonville, which lent its name to the battlefield. For 3 days, March 19th, 20th, and 21st of 1865, the Confederates hung on to their position. Johnston shifted his outnumbered troops around a lot to meet new threats by the Union Army. On the first day, the Confederates had the advantage of surprise. They attacked the North before the Union troops could get into position. The second day of fighting was a series of small fights, which Sherman initiated to keep the enemy occupied. By the third day, the Union had moved its army around until part of its troops got on the other side of the Confederate line. The Union attack pushed the Southerners out of their shallow trenches. General Johnston was almost captured in the quick retreat. More than a half dozen North Carolina regiments were involved in the battle. In addition, the state had drafted regiments of junior reserves, young teenagers from different communities across the state. For many, this was their one and only battle. One of their commanders, 17-year-old Walter Clark of Halifax County, had just graduated from the university in Chapel Hill. He later became the Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court. John A. Foyle from Cabarrus County was part of the 70th Reserves. Foyle went on to become a minister and a professor of mathematics at Catawba College.